Well, please be seated. Wow, what a year we've had, huh? 2017, we're moving on to 2018. He's coming back, right?
Amen.
Looking forward to that for sure. Well, a number of days ago, I was thinking about the opportunity that I had to share God's Word at this fellowship. So I was talking to God. And I said, Father, I need your help here. What do you want me to share? I really need you. And the thing that hit my heart was, I need you. God says he needs us. And then I thought, my golly. You know, God's done everything. He's created the heavens and the earth. He's done it all. He can do anything and everything. He needs little old me? Well, went to the Word and thought about this a little bit. And you know, I was thinking about God's passion from the beginning of time to eternity is you. So, he wanted a family. God so desired to have a family. He was lonely. So he created the heavens and the earth. He made man. Why did he make man? To fellowship with. Everything God has purposed through creation is with you in mind. And there's a wonderful man of God, E.W. Kenyon, who has a beautiful way of expressing God's love and care for his people. And I want to share some of these things out of his book, The Father and His Family. The entire plan of redemption is a revelation of the heart hunger and loneliness of the great Father God. The first step in his stupendous dream of creation was God's dream and his blueprints of man's beautiful home. No prospective husband, father ever dreamed more ardently of the home nest than did the Father God dream over the contemplated home of his child. You know, why did he make the earth? He made it for man. So he took ages and ages to build an earth home, to store it with treasures that only his mind could conceive and his power create. In another place, he says, before the morning stars sang their first anthem to the heart of the lonely Father God, before the foundation of the earth was laid, before the first rays of light ever passed through the dark expanse, the heart of the great Creator God had a yearning deep, mighty, eternal. It was the primordial passion for children. The Father heart of the Creator God longed for sons and daughters. When love laid the foundations of this mighty universe, he purposed it all to be the home of his man. It was to be man's birthplace, man's garden of delight, man's university where he would learn to know his Father God. Love took plenty of time. Ages and ages he worked, stirring up treasures of all kinds of wealth for his man. He filled earth's bosom with deposits of iron, copper, silver, and gold, with uncounted varieties of metals, chemicals, and resources that would respond to the touch of his man. He covered the face of the earth with mountains, valleys, ravines, plateaus, and prairies, lovely rivulets, and mighty rivers. and a garment of green intermingled with many colored flowers that thrilled with joy the heart of his man. The mountainsides are covered with giant forests whose trees are filled with singing birds and droning insects whose dainty wings beat against the gentle wind and make a melody fit for his man. Fruits and vegetables abound in profusion, spelling out in nature's language the love of the gist of the great Father, heart of God for his man. This interprets the great dream, the heart plan, the great Father God, what he has for man. We believe that God's heart is the reason not only for creation, but for creation's crown, man. And then there's this verse in Ephesians 1, chapters 3 and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame or without blemish before him, in love, having foreordained us unto sonship as sons through Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. God so set this in motion. He had us in mind before time. We heard in the manifestations that, didn't we? And what really blows my mind is God has emotion. I mean, we don't think about that with God, really, do we? He has some kind of emotion. But he uses this term, good pleasure. It was all because of his good pleasure. It was pleasurable for him to do it. He wasn't like, oh boy, now I'm God. I guess I got to create the earth and have a man. Oh boy. No. This was according to what? His good pleasure. Oh, he so dreamed to have fellowship with his man. He so desired that. And look at the job he did in the creation of the heavens and stars and the earth that we live in. We are so awed, aren't we, as we go around this earth of ours? Everywhere, we just, amazing what God has created. And he did it for us. He did it for his love of man. He loves us so, so much. In Ephesians 2:10, God chose you to be the object of his love and affection. So what does that say there? This is the International Standard Version. For we are God's masterpiece, created in the Messiah Jesus to perform what? Good actions that God prepared long ago to be our way of life, just the way we live our life. We are God's masterpiece. God has put us very special. You know, Jeannie has this, in our dining room, we have this china hutch, I guess you call it, right? And there's glass, and there's lights in there, and there's all this pretty dishes. You know, all the pretty dishes have lights and a glass so you can see them. The other dishes are behind closed doors. You don't see those too much. But the very best, the masterpiece, we shine the light on it, right? God, that's how God feels about his man, his woman. Wow. All of God's creation was for man. He gave man dominion over it all, didn't he, in the beginning? He said, here, I made this. You take care of it. And they walked and talked together, naming the animals and everything. Now, unfortunately, what happened? Man did the one thing God said not to do. And we have the fall of man. So, what did God do? Did he say, well, that's it. These guys, they'll never get it right. No, he so loved us that he put into motion the great Redeemer, right? And it took a few thousand years, but the Lord Jesus Christ came, didn't he, to redeem man so that man could once again have his spirit. But this time, that spirit was eternal spirit, wasn't it? Forever spirit, not on a condition. So that man could be truly the Son of God. That God could have his children, could fellowship with his children. That's why when we talk about praying to God and hearing from God, like Barney was saying, why not? So many people say, you'd say that God talked to you? Come on now, that's a little too much. Why not? Look at all that God did in his creation for man. And then to give of his spirit, born again of that spirit, and have that within? Oh my goodness, yes, God wants to talk to us. He is talking to us. Do we have our spiritual ears open to hear? So have great expectation that God is talking to you. Next slide. God never wanted man to live on his own or by himself. You know, we talk about the self-made man, right? You know, us guy, we can really make it happen here. We can do it all. I can do it. I don't need any help. Hey, we need help. We need our Heavenly Father. And he has originated us so that we could live with him, for him. What's that great commandment that God has given us? All our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's our job. He needs us to love him. God wants to be loved. He wants to be praised. He wants to be recognized. You know, I have two sons and a daughter. And if I don't hear from them, how do you think I feel? You know, and days go by, weeks go by, months go by, and I haven't heard from my children. I feel it, huh? It kind of hurts my heart that I haven't heard from my kids. Because I love them. God loves his kids. He loves each and every one of you. He wants to hear from you all the time. Not only one day a week, but all the time. So God needs us. He needs for us to step up and love him, to recognize him, to receive his blessings so that he could be a proud father. You know, I am so blessed that I've been able to contribute to my sons and daughters' lives, help enable them to be successful in this crazy world. What has God done to enable us? Oh my goodness. So he needs us to love him. Yeah. Look at Ephesians 1:12. Ephesians 1:12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's how God sees us. We're to the praise of his glory. You know, when he gets around with some of his angels, you know, they have a little meeting. Hey, Michael, get the guys together here. We're having a meeting. Look at my born-again ones down there. My children. Aren't they wonderful? Man, look at who they are. Look at them speaking the word to somebody else. Look, they're praying to me. Look, they're singing songs of praise to me. Oh, that touches my heart. Now, I don't know what the angels are thinking at this time. But God's passion is for you. To love him. To love him. So in light of all that God has done for us, what is our response to this great reality? What are we to do? You know, we can certainly take care of ourselves. We got our five senses, our natural flesh, mind, thinking. And it's very easy to succumb to the natural world and its ways. But what can we do? Hopefully we don't rely on our five senses and flesh. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, we don't have a slide on that, but let me share that verse with you. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So, you know, when it comes to responding to God, God needs you and you're stepping up to the plate, it's not really going to be about your five senses, ideas, and thoughts, your natural ways of doing stuff. It's going to come through a knowledge of God's Word and then acting on it. So how can we give back to loving Him and serving Him? What can I do now? And of course, please remember, God is so loving and forgiving, isn't He? So don't take this message as, well, man, I haven't been praying very much. It's, hey, God forgives. It's a new day, isn't it? Yes, tomorrow's a new day. What does God do with the things that we ask Him to forgive us for? What does He do with those things? No more. He forgets about them. Far as the east is from the west. Who remembers their sins? We do. Don't! He doesn't. So once it's over, it's over. It's a new day. That's why I'm so thankful for this new year. I'm excited about what can I be for my Heavenly Father this year. Because He needs me. There's that little poem, God has no hands but our hands, right? No feet but our feet. And what's the rest of it? I have no hands but my hands, no feet but our feet. Yeah, there's some more to it. But the point is, God has given us the privilege and opportunity to hold forth the Word. You know, the story of Cornelius in chapter 10 of Acts, the first Gentile to get born again. Remember, he was a great man that worshiped God, and God sent angels to talk to him, right? Now, did the angels get him born again? Did he tell them the message of salvation? No, that's not the angel's job. The angels told Cornelius, go get Peter and Joppa and send for him. Because God's left the new birth, the sharing of salvation to us. Can you think of anything greater that you could do for somebody than to help them get born again of God's Spirit? From eternal death to eternal life? Oh my goodness, not. I mean, even handing out tracts. Bert is so good ministering and holding forth the Word and sharing with people. Hands out tracts with the salvation message on it. He doesn't know, but I bet there's been people that looked at this and their heart was open and they got born again. You can't beat that. You cannot beat that. I don't care if you build a hospital for 1,000 people. Eternal life is eternal life. Wow. Wow. So, I've got 8 scriptures that I would like to share with you that give you a fresh start, so to speak, here, all right? So, we're going to look at 8 scriptures that can help us be our best for God. And the first one is Hebrews 12, 1 to 8. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And who are we looking to? Yeah, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Isn't that wonderful? Great message here. Next one. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Boy, isn't that a motivator? That's what we want to do, huh? Next one, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. This is one of my favorite sections of scriptures. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, which is in you? We have the gift of Holy Spirit in us, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You don't belong to yourself. You do not belong to yourself. So don't pay any attention to what you say about yourself. Be spirit motivated, okay? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is of God, which are God's. Okay, next one, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, is the translation. Creation. He is a new creation. That old man is past. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Boy, this is the truth. I mean, you might get advice from your friends and business people, but this is what really counts in your life, to believe God's word. My goodness. Okay, next one. Philippians. Oh, you know what? Doggone it. I was going to give you these notes here. And I know I saw some of you writing down, which is good, but come on up here and help out. You want to help? Nico? And some, we'll need some other folks too. You cover over there, okay? I meant to give you these notes before we started on these verses, because hopefully you'll hold on to this so that you can be reminded of these great sections of Scripture that give us a new, fresh start in life, huh? Now, see, I should have done this earlier, and I can look at myself and say, you know, you dumb head, why didn't you do it earlier? But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And that's behind. And what else am I going to do? And reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's our passion. God has his passion to have us. Our passion is to love him. Next one, 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, in the sense that he made Jesus Christ to be a sin offering for us who knew no sin, that we might be made, this blows my mind, I can't get my head around this, that we might be made what? The righteousness of who? God? In him. That Christ in you. We are righteous before God, not because of what we have done, but what God did through Christ in us. Wow. So we should think very highly of ourselves. We don't get haughty about it, but we use that with great confidence and boldness and trust in our Heavenly Father. Next one, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What kind of end do we have to look forward to? Amen. Christ coming back. Wow. And then finally, Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And that's who we are tapped into. So in closing here, you know, I believe God's heart is for you to realize He needs you. He loves you so much, and He needs your love. He needs you to be what He's called you to be. So in this new year, 2018, we have some great opportunities, don't we? To fellowship with our Father, to be excited about living life. I don't know what's going on in your lives. I'm sure we all have these issues and things going on and stuff. But as we focus on Him, those stuff kind of gets to the side there, and we focus on Him, loving Him, doing what He would have us to do, and a lot of this other stuff kind of gets taken care of, doesn't it? I mean, that's His nature, to take care of us fully and completely. So let's be our best for our Heavenly Father. He needs us big time, okay? I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for what You've done for us through Your Son. Unbelievable. But it is believable, Father, because You said it. And thank You for Your passion toward us, that You do love us, You care for us, You want the best for us. So thank You for Your love, Father. And we just, Father, commit to You to be our best for You. So thank You for working with us. And Father, I pray for each and every person here, for their wonderful hearts, for who they are before You and who they will be in the future as they move out and grow and be their best for You. So thank You, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. All right.